every one of you without excuse.
Okay, so we're going to backtrack a little bit because Gayla had some questions, and I agree. When I do this, I am teaching what I believe God put on my heart to teach to this group. My hope is that it does reach out to people, and that, you know, because I think as we move forward and the lie is exposed that there is no pre-trib rapture, that these things are exposed to the Christians, that they will have answers, and maybe they'll find some answers through this little church and its teaching of truth. And I do agree with Gayla. I mean, I'm not sure. It's our job to preach the gospel. God will save who He will save. So, I mean, it's really easy for us. We're to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. And that hope only comes through here. So if we just stay true to the Word of God, God will reap the harvest. And from what I've seen, even church history, it seems this is the order, that there are churches are small in number that teach sound doctrine. And to me, I'm seeing a world that is ecumenism is really the growing Christianity, not only in America, but in the world. And they are accepting of everything. So I just want to backtrack here, you know, just to go back and look at why teach eschatology. Well, you know, like I said before, Luke 19:20, I brought this up. If thou had known thou at least this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thee, unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thee. So to me, they were supposed to be prepared for the first coming of Jesus Christ, and we should be prepared for the second coming. Now, in between the first coming and second coming is over 2,000 years. So to me, it's always in effect that you better be right with God spiritually, and there should be a change in your life that takes place, that now the Bible is your authority and not the doctrines of men. So I hold on to that. But I think there was some confusion last week over the trumpets. So I changed this up a little bit. Oh, no, that's not it. So I changed this up a little bit.
Welcome, my brother.
So, you can see here the feast, right? Christ fulfilled the first three feasts at his first coming. He is the first fruit. That he rose on the morrow after the Sabbath. He is the first fruit of the spring harvest, that's the resurrection. And then we're in Pentecost, but you'll see we are the first fruit of the fall harvest, which takes place, he tells you count 7 times 7, right. 49 days. And then on the 50th day, you have Pentecost. Well, the Jubilee was 70 times 7. You had 49 years. And on the 50th day was the trumpet of Jubilee. So you can see right here we're in trumpets. And I just want to go back to, if you turn into Leviticus 23, 25, around there. But just to get some order here, because I think this with Gayla, you got a little confused with the trumpets. So God's telling Moses, it's actually here on the board, but if you want to turn to Leviticus anyway. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month of the first day of the month that ye shall have a Sabbath. So there's a Sabbath, the first day of the month, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural. So the feast of trumpet is a blowing of trumpets, it's plural. And it is a holy convocation. What is a convocation? It's a remembrance or it's a calling to assemble. Okay? Remember that. It's a calling to assemble. And, of course, you shall do no servile work therein. That's when I believe that God is going to restore everything to its original earth. You're going to beat your swords into plowshares. Everyone's going to have their own promise, their own inheritance. But you shall offer an offer made by fire. We looked at this. Like Kevin said, there's a trial by fire coming in, unto the Lord. So to me, this goes along with the second coming. But Numbers 10 talks about God telling us not telling us, but telling them to make two trumpets. He says, one piece of silver, two trumpets, and it is for the calling of the assembly. It is for their calling of the assembly. It's not to assemble, it's for the calling of to assemble and to journey. So verse 7 says, but when the congregation is to be gathered, you shall, together you shall blow, but you shall not sound the alarm. So there's, to me, what's going on here is between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, the sixth trumpet, with, I believe we are within 10 days.
Okay.
Because you blow the sixth trumpet, and that's the calling to assemble. But the seventh trumpet is the gathering. Right? Does it make sense? And we see this because...
Could you just explain that a little bit more? What's the difference between assemble and gather?
It is a calling to assemble.
Okay. To call in the gathering, so you send out the alarm. The volunteer fire department, so we
yeah.
They blast
yes.
The train,
good.
And then they get all the firemen to come, and then they get on the truck, and then they go to the fire.
Yeah.
Right? Church bell.
Ring the church bell. Right?
Yeah.
So it gathers in the folks from the field. My mamaw says that's my grandmother on my
that was good.
Stepfather's side. She cooked a big, lunch, and for the men in the field that may have been miles away, before lunch was ready, she'd ding the bell, she'd keep ringing, or she'd ring it, then start coming in, then she'd set the table and stuff like that. By the time they got there, they sat down and ate, and then they went back to the field.
Yeah.
Right?
So isn't that the same thing, calling to assembly? Calling off the assembly? They're not the same?
No, Curtis just said it. You're actually being called by Meemaw, right? Or you're being called by the fire department. There's a horn that goes on, and you're being called to come to the fire department, to come to grandma's. But the calling goes out first. You're being called to it.
And then when you assemble,
That's the gathering.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't say that in Numbers 10:7. He doesn't use the word assemble. He says when the congregation is gathered. So there's a clear connection here. There's a calling to assemble, and then there's the actual gathering.
Where I live, I can hear York Fire Department call. I can hear Caledonia.
Right.
I can hear Leroy.
Right.
So when you hear the whistle, well, you go, oh, wait, that's
yes. I'm being called to go there.
You're calling a specific group, not the entire. And if it's a major fire, hear all three of them at one time.
Yeah.
Right? Does it make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, so to me, and like I said, when you read, I don't know if we're going to see this, but when you read, go ahead.
In that, after that calling, there's a time, 10 days.
Yeah.
There's a time for, gives a chance for everybody to get out of their house to the fire department.
Yeah.
Or to the place. All right, so there's a time between the siren before the fire truck takes off.
That's
when
right.
When the fire truck leaves, it's a different siren. It's a ding, 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 woo, 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 kind of a thing. So it is another trumpet, another call. There's the calling of going out, not the calling of coming in.
That's right. Because if you look between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, like I said here, I think you're starting to get some time frame when the trumpets start to blow. And to me, the first four trumpets,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's Elijah and Moses calling down the miracles from God. Because if you look at what's happening to the earth, those first four trumpets, it is God responding to Elijah and Moses, and it matches what they did in their ministry on the earth thousands of years ago. A famine throughout the land for 3.5 years, water turning into blood, but it only happens to a third of the land, a third of the waters, a third of the people, which tells me it's going to be in that area of the Levant, right? It's going to be in that area.
Which is the same thing that happened in the before the Exodus.
Yeah, yeah.
Goshen was protected.
Yep.
But
yeah.
2/3 of Egypt. So I don't know if Goshen is a true third, but there was a spot that wasn't affected, and then there's a spot that was.
Yeah, and that's what I think, Curtis. It's not doesn't necessarily Egypt is a type of the world, and that world to me at that point is the enemies of Israel that surround them, right? So, yeah, and when you look at the first plagues, those came from God as punishment on trying to, that's not God's wrath.
Amen.
Those are his judgments against going against his people. God's wrath is Pharaoh and his army, right? Antichrist and the mystery Babylon being drowned in the Red Sea. That's God's, a picture of God's wrath. So, like I say, when you see this in Revelation 11, it says, after these are caught up, the second woe is past and the third woe cometh quickly. So these are quick between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. And that's why I believe, and the Bible teaches a 10-day period, that they're going to kill you. Right? So let's just look at some more of this. So you have the year of Jubilee in Leviticus 25 of 25a says, thou shalt number seven Sabbaths. Right? Now we just saw Pentecost, 49, and then the 50th was the Holy Spirit sent out. And you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. In the space of seven Sabbaths, it shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet, so now you have a trumpet being blown of the Jubilee, on sound of the 10th month of the 7th day. So, right? Gala, the Feast of Tabernacles, the blowing of the trumpet is on the first day of the 7th month. So now you have the trumpet of Jubilee being blown on the 10th day of the 7th month. So 10 days later, right, this matches Revelation 2:10. Okay, and you should cause the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement.
Right.
So now you have another feast that's being fulfilled on that Day of Trumpets.
Again, it's on that day.
That's right. All
three of these feasts are within the sun set and the sunrise.
Absolutely.
That one day.
Yeah, one day, Curtis. And to me, this is why I do think these things are important. There it is. There's the feast. So we were just told that the trumpets being blown ready is the same day of the Day of Atonement. And it's on the 10th day where the trumpets start to blow on the first day and the last one is blown on the 10th day.
Well, when we went over the feasts on the other blackboard back there, there is a picture somewhere on the entire net where I drew up the 4 months of the year.
Yeah, that was good.
The feast and the trumpets and how it lines up with the Hebrew calendar and the Roman calendar.
Right.
You know, and how they lined up. And it worked out where those last three feasts are all in one time. And
that's right.
In rapid succession.
Yep.
One finishes, the next one
starts. Yeah.
One finishes, the next one starts.
And they all are. I actually, pray for my friend Mark, the Jewish guy I play hockey with. I actually had a chance to share with him for the first time. I never pushed it on him, but he knew where I stood. That Jesus, you know, he said, well, I don't understand. I said, Jesus is the feast.
Right.
I said, he fulfills Judaism. I said, he's not anti-Jewish. He's not anti-law. He fulfilled it, and he fulfills the feast. So he fulfilled the first three at his first coming, and he's going to fulfill the next three at his next coming, and in between we have the Holy Spirit being poured out.
Which is the Feast of Pentecost.
So we're in Pentecost right now.
Is he getting like softer and softer?
I do think he's getting softer. Like I think I told you before, Kev, he's actually told his rabbi, he goes, when I got Bible questions, I go to my Christian friend Tom. Yeah. Okay, so let's just finish here. So listen to what happens on Jubilee. And okay, so did this take place? Yes. But think future. Think typology. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th month of the 7th, on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of the Atonement. Ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow, it's holy, the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye shall return every man to his family. And the jubilee of the 50 year shall be unto you, and you shall not sow, neither shall you reap, which that soweth in itself, nor gather the grapes of thy vine it is undressed. For it is a jubilee, it is holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase thereof, and in the year of jubilee ye shall return every man to his possession. So I think this is the future promise that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They search for a city, a maker. They search for a place where God built. This is the promise to us, his children, that we are going to inherit this place, and that we are, man is going to have their own every possession, and that we are going to be gathered as a family. Right? Dad, Zechariah says, I'm going to start, when I come, I'm going to start dividing families. Right? Okay.
So would this be that 1,000-year reign?
Well, here
on the 50th of the trumpet, time of jubilee,
yeah,
where God returns everything to his possession, the land is at rest,
yeah,
man doesn't have to farm, it just the ground starts producing, yeah, for itself, just like it was in the Garden of Eden.
That's right, and you just reap what God has planted for.
Right, so if you look at God's timeline, and this here is a picture as a template. All right, God says he's going to do certain things at certain times, and then at a certain time, on the year of Jubilee, in God's timing, that time of Jubilee, that,
yeah,
true celebration, is when you're talking about the swords are going to be beaten into plowshares,
yeah,
lions going to lay down with the land, or wolves going to lay down, yeah, with the land, children going to play on the holes of the
ass. I do. I don't want to really get into it because it's still part of the future of this, the 1,000 years. What I believe, I just said what I believe the 1,000 years is I believe eternity starts,
right,
at the second coming. I do believe that. I believe that eternity starts at the second coming. And the only place we see the 1,000 year mentioned is in Revelation 20. Everything up until that says when he comes, it's forever and ever and ever. So I do believe we're up here on a new heaven, a new earth. Everything's perfect. And I do believe that they are, the 1,000 years is when they are in the pit.
Yeah.
When they are in the pit of hell, waiting for their trial.
Doesn't that picture, that same picture of the 1,000 years, line up with the Jubilee?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
That 50th year, that time of Jubilee,
yeah,
the seventh trumpet sounded, and all things are made right. Every man who was a prisoner is set free.
Yeah.
Forever. Lands forever.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's my point, is I believe that the Jubilee is the forever Jubilee,
right,
mm-hmm, and, yeah, it starts at the,
right,
second coming.
This is one that happened over and over and over again.
Right,
the blood of the goats, and,
yeah,
which isn't to be compared with the blood of Christ. We went over in Hebrew.
That's right. Yeah, we. If anybody knows that, we do.
Right,
right. We've covered it, so we know that it's the blood of Christ that He shed 2,000 years ago, and there He took away the first that He may establish the second,
which started Pentecost.
Right.
And Pentecost is going to go until the Jubilee period.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. So, well, let's look at Pentecost. So you're in Leviticus, and then Curtis brought up Acts today, chapter 2. You're in Leviticus there, so now you have a same type of time frame,
mm-hmm,
49 and then 50. So look at Leviticus 23, 15 to 17, and then put a finger in Acts chapter 2. So Leviticus, we're looking at Pentecost, and like Curtis said, the fulfillment of the Jubilee is the fulfillment of Pentecost. So Pentecost, here's the earthly one, 23:15-17, and ye shall count unto you on the morrow after the Sabbath. So this is huge. Who rose on the morrow after the Sabbath? Okay, so we're supposed to count 50 days from that point, or 49, what is it? Sabbath from, you shall bring the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbath shall be complete. So, what is that sheaf of the wave offering? It's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the branch. He's the sheaf that God, that waved before God. He's single, right? He's the branch that waved before God at the crucifixion where people's sins are now forgiven. And that took place on the morrow after the Sabbath, when he rose. Even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering. So now this is different than the sheep. This is you.
Right.
Okay, so now the Holy Spirit is going to come on Alan 50 days later, and Alan is going to bow his knee and make a meat offering himself to the Lord. So now he's presenting himself to the Lord because Christ fulfilled it 50 days before. Right? And ye shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2 tenths. They shall be with fine flour, and they shall be baking with. It's your sinful, you're the wave loaf. You're the sinful person, Jew and Gentile. Why two? Because it's the same gospel for the Jew as it is for the Gentile. Two wave offerings, two loaves, and with leaven, and they are the first fruits. So this fruit, what is the first fruits? It's you receiving the Spirit of God. And you are to wave your filthy leavened body, bread, before the Lord and bow your knee to him, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Does it, right? Okay, so look at Acts chapter 2. That's why I say there's so much to people that say you don't need the Old Testament. They're married. The Old Testament and the New Testament are married. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the earthly promises, right? They're never, Curtis, we say it all the time. There's something better for us than this Levitical. There's a true one that's going to take place. Okay, so if you're in
Luke. Where's the scripture that talks Christ the first fruits?
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 15. And he's
yeah.
talking about the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, then those that are Christ at his coming. So he's the first fruits that rose from the dead. We're the first fruits are the people that receive the Spirit.
Right, yeah.
It's that simple. Of course, if you're in John 2, it doesn't help. So Acts chapter 2. Look at this. I got these. I love Acts. Even you know what? Look at Acts chapter 1. I just love Acts. You know, in 1 Thessalonians he says, you should know the times and the seasons. It is for you to know the times. Well, look what he says. And look at, just start here. I didn't have this planned, but look at Acts 1, 6. Therefore, when they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Mm-hmm. They're not getting their earthly kingdom back. Right. David's not going to reign on the throne. The next kingdom they get, Curtis, is going to be a better one. Right? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. Mm-hmm. That word power is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? So he's saying, wait a minute, this contradicts 1 Thessalonians 5 where he says, you shall know the times and the seasons. But look what he says. But you shall receive power from on high that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to uttermost parts of the earth. So when do you receive the knowledge of the times and the season? When you get the Holy Spirit. So what took place between Acts chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he tells us? The Holy Spirit was poured out, and now we can know the times and the seasons. Make sense? So I like this. He actually tells them what it's going to look like when he comes back. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld and he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men, I would say Gabriel and Michael, archangel. Jesus said he sent in the archangel before the notable day in the Lord to gather his saints. You have an angel coming out of the temple in Revelation 14.
Could be.
And it does call Gabriel the man, Gabriel, and Daniel calls him the man. That's why, you know, we know that angels are going to reap the harvest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Okay, so when he had spoken these things, he was taken up in a cloud and received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up, and behold, two men standing by them in white apparel. This is why I believe they're angels. They're already clothed in white apparel.
Right.
which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven."
Didn't in my transfiguration, what was it, Matthew 17?
Maybe, but yeah. In the
Matthew, yeah, I mean, there was the date. Yeah, I mean,
they weren't transfigured.
I'm not arguing. I'm just kind of saying.
Well, they weren't transfigured. He was.
Yeah, yeah.
It says Elijah and Moses were with. If you go study it, no, I've studied it. If you want, if you don't believe me, you can go read it. The only one that was transfigured was Christ.
I'm just asking.
They were in their souls, and what they were in their souls, and what did he do? He told them, "I'm coming to get you."
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they weren't in heaven.
Yeah, because they weren't in heaven. Yet.
If you study it, you'll see Jesus is the only one that was transfigured.
It's a question. I don't know.
No, it's that's why. I believe these are the angels because they're already clothed in white apparel. Okay, so anyway, let's move on to chapter. This is really what I want to get into. Chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost, there's a word here that's very interesting. Was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Curtis brought this up. So what does that mean? It was fully come. Well, everything leading up to this was a type, was a typology. It was part of the law. Now the Holy Spirit, now this is going to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on a group, on a multitude of people. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can see now the fulfillment of Pentecost. You have 50 days. What did you have at the Jubilee? You have 50 days. Here's the early reign. We're going to see this in a minute. Look at, I should have some more here. Okay, 14 to 21. Look at 14 to 21 in Acts chapter 2. But Peter standing up, by the way, they weren't speaking some gibberish. They were speaking known languages.
Yep.
I'm Greek, and I'm talking to Curtis, and he's hearing me in German. They were speaking, now Curtis is going to go back to Germany, and he's going to give them the gospel, right? They were known languages. They weren't a bunch of gibberish, barking dogs rolling on the aisles. Okay, so anyway, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and ye men that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day." It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come in the last days." Right? We studied this. We're in the last days since the time of Christ. "Saith God that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show," so has this happened? "And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, into moon, into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord." So did that happen 2,000 years at Pentecost?
No.
Some of it did.
Well, just tongues.
Right? Tongues, seeing dreams and visions.
Yeah.
But there weren't vapors of smoke.
Mm-mm.
So what are we talking about here? There's this another future event where Pentecost is going to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right?
Well. And we know that day the sun shall be turned into the blood, or turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great moon.
Before.
Yeah.
Before.
The rolling back of the sky.
Yeah. So look at what it says here. Look at James. James 5. And Joel actually mentions about the early and latter rain. The early rain is Pentecost that's being poured out since then, but yet there's going to be a time when the latter rain comes. Look at James chapter 5. Look at 3. He's telling the unsaved, your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And you have heaped treasures together for the last days. Okay, look at 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, first fruit, harvest, Pentecost, as he had long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain, until he receives it, until he receives the harvest, the first fruits. The early rain is going to be harvested, Alan, with the latter rain, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, grudge not, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So like I said before, when he comes, he's coming to judge and make war. Well, he's going to judge the whole earth on whether you believe them or not, but where does judgment begin? House of God. Mm-hmm. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of pre-trib rapture. Suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure what? Nothing. A pre-trib rapture, you're not enduring anything. Okay, you have heard of the patience of Job. Was Job a Gentile or a Jew?
Gentile.
How many chapters?
42.
How many months?
3.5 years, bro. 42.
That's not a coincidence. See, you only get this. That's why prophecy is faith building, because it draws you to this.
Right.
And this draws you to your faith. And your faith causes a change in your life. You have seen the end of the Lord. The end of Job was better than the beginning?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Twice as much.
Right?
Doubled him up.
And this is what I love about the Lord, like Curtis says, but God. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Yeah.
That's the God I know. So here's the point. So the fifth trumpet, you have devils released, and you have a 5-month period. That's the first woe. Remember, like I said, the first 4 trumpets, I believe, start the 3.5 years, because I think they're married to the 2 witnesses in Revelation 11, right? That they're calling down these things. The last 3 trumpets, I think you're starting to be given a date, a timeline of how close we are. So the fifth trumpet, we have 5-month period. We studied this with the flood. The waters abated, were defeated, right? At the end of 5 months, and the people in the ark were hid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were safe for 5 months. And once again, the fifth trumpet, when these devils are released and they're punishing, they're not punishing you and me. They're going after them.
Right.
And that's why, to me, when you read in Revelation 11 that these 2 witnesses tormented, those people, this is the response, I believe,
yeah,
that they are calling down. Shall we call down fire from heaven as Elijah did? Right?
We'll be looking at Elijah and Moses, and it's kind of hard to picture. It is quite a thought to think that Elijah and Moses will be persecuting you.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's what I say.
And well, I think that when they're called up, when they come back up and stand back up in the 3.5 days,
yeah,
that's us too.
That's us. We're going with them. There's only one resurrection. We're going with them. And that's what I said. Think of this too. Who brought up Goshen? They were protected in Goshen while fire, brimstone, blood, water, lice, mice, everything was being poured on them. But yet, the people in Goshen were being protected. And Revelation 12 says, I gave the woman 2 wings of an eagle to fly to the wilderness where she has prepared a place for time, and a dividing of times. And how long was Elijah protected by Moses, by God, under the drought? time and a half of times. I I'm starting to see that, you know, when the Bible says that he will overcome the saints and
right.
I don't think it's during this whole 3.5 years. I think it's the last 10 days.
Yeah.
We're not told when he overcomes the saints. Right. We're just told that he overcomes the saints, right? And then, like you said, Revelation 14 says.
Cast out the
it's right.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's when the Antichrist is revealed.
That's right.
I don't think Satan wants to reveal
that. That's right.
But when he's clipped.
Yep.
His wings are clipped.
Yeah.
It's one-dimensional warfare for him now.
That's right.
Now he knows his time is short.
That's right.
And then the Antichrist in the temple.
That's right. That's what I said. I mean, to me, the ten horns, who are the kings under the Antichrist, they hate the whore. Who's the whore? Them.
Yeah. It's the world system.
It's the world. It's the system. It's Mystery Babylon. They hate them. Of course they hate us, but it seems to me we've been put aside. Not taken up, but put aside.
And even in that, we're going to have to rely on the manna of God. We're going to have to rely on the water that comes from the rock.
That's right.
Everything that we have known and depended on our whole lives, all of our history, we've depended on the world system.
Yeah.
We're going to have to truly trust God. If we're going to be able to stand in those times, it's got to be by faith.
It has to be. It has to be.
I think Revelation 12 is God's direct provision.
Yes, I believe
that. Once Satan is cast to the earth, then God mm-hmm. moves in a different way. The witnesses show up, and now you have the woman's given wings as an eagle. Mm-hmm. She goes into the wilderness. The earth opens its mouth. It swallows the nations.
That's right.
Or the peoples that go against Satan. There's only one-dimensional warfare now.
Well, and I think Curtis is making a point that I think is being taught and preached here in this church is there post-trip prepping is not going to help you. Your victory garden is not going to help you. Your generators, your hidden water, your cave in the hole, that's not going to help you. What's going to help you is do you trust God in that time? When he backs us against the Red Sea.
Right.
When we're backed against the Red Sea, what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in my victory garden? Which is fine.
Yeah.
I think there's a great things for time of need to help one another. But I'm telling you, you're trusting in
it's
God. It's right.
Religion.
That's where Daniel 11, that's when you're hoping with a little help.
Yeah.
When you are backed up against the wall and God says,
it's right.
Yeah. That's right.
That's when we go. Lord, it's only you, because everything else is out of our hands.
Absolutely. Because a lot of Christians, that's why this is important. Eschatology is important, because a lot of Christians are going to go, hey, I'm supposed to be removed.
Offended. They're going to be offended.
I took the vaccine. They told me, I shut down my church. I need to take this mark after all, Alan. I'm told that it's on the forehead and on the hand. And, you know, God looks at the heart, not on the outside. And I'm told that you take that thing, you're done.
You cannot.
You're done.
Yes.
It's clear. It's you're clear. Done.
You're done.
Yeah, I'll say it again. It's, to me, that Mark, I know I've said this a lot, but when I started understanding this,
mm-hmm.
I was honest with God. I said, I can't do it. I can't. I know my flesh. I will give in. To protect my family, to eat, to pay the bills, I will protect it. And God gave me, brother shall betray brother unto death, father to children, shall rise up against the parent, shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men, for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, no, that's not what I'm looking for. He says...
You will provide in that day the words to speak.
Right.
When they hail us to the synagogue.
That's right.
Yes, that's in Matthew.
Here it is. Here, 13:11. Listen. But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought.
Oh, there you go. I'll give it.
The right there.
Yeah.
I cried.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you.
He's speaking now.
Because he's merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither don't even premeditate it.
Yeah.
For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. I am promised, those words are in red. Mm-hmm. I am promised in my Savior. What are you trusting in, Tom?
Right.
the world's collapsing around you. The medical industry, the financial system, it's all collapsing around you. Tom, what are you trusting in? He says the same thing in Luke 21, I believe it's 12. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you. And they, I just lost.
Some of you in prison.
That's right. Yep. Settle it. 14. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts.
Thank you. Right.
Not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I, who did he say he was going to put on you in Mark? The Holy Spirit. Here he's saying, I, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I am promised by my Savior, I've got this time. Go ahead, dear.
So is this setting aside of the Christian, that's a word picture when God set aside Israel.
Yeah.
But we've never really looked at
no, because they don't want you to.
Of something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I say, when you read the Exodus, you read Exodus, compare it to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
There are, and this is what dispensation, this is what the pre-tribbers have done to us. Oh, that's for them. This is for us. But they are typology. They are examples. They are similitudes of the past that happened to things in the future. But they're not only similitudes. They're the real thing that's going to happen. The final thing.
Two things that are brought up when we're saying that also. Number one, the Jews, when they come out of Egypt, their victory gardens, their canned goods, their generators didn't help them a bit.
That's right.
They moved to a new land.
That's right.
Number two, they reaped where they had never sowed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. They never, Alan, they never got the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Look at what Alan just said.
Yeah.
When they went into the promised land, they lived in houses they didn't build.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
They reaped crops that they didn't plant.
That's right.
Right? They had blessings and dwellings and water from wells that they never dug.
That's right.
It wasn't on them to do it. All they had to do was walk across the Jordan.
Inherit it.
Inherit it.
That's right.
So exactly. God says, I've got a place provided for you in the desert.
Yep.
Yep.
We're looking at sand in the desert.
Okay? Yeah.
All
yeah.
we got is sand. What are we going to eat?
Yeah.
God says, I've got a place set. Mm-hmm. There might be desert to it.
That's right.
I've got you taken care of.
Right.
Where did God take them in the wilderness? He took them in the wilderness of the desert, right?
Yeah.
Revelation 12 says that the bride, the woman, is hid in the wilderness for 3.5 years. Yeah. So, I mean.
And isn't crossing the Jordan a picture of the resurrection? Like, yeah. That's where you die?
Yeah. The crossing the Jordan is a picture of death, and resurrection, Canaan land, is a picture of the promised land,
right?
That's a picture of the promised land. And it was already prepared for them, like Alan says, right? There's a kingdom coming that's already prepared for us.
And I'm not saying don't do this stuff.
Yeah.
I am saying I don't rely on it.
Exactly.
My dad always preached just the opposite. He says, you'll have everything all filled up. He goes, you'll spend all your time trying to protect it.
That's right.
They're coming to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
When these days come, the hungry are coming to your house.
That's right.
They don't want
to. Oh, there was a guy.
Get enough bullets to stop.
Yeah, there was a guy I used to go to church with when the COVID, no, it was way before COVID. He said, well, when these things hit, I have a year's full of food. I said, no, you don't. Because everybody here knows you have a year's full of food. I said, and how's that going to save you for the next 2.5 years?
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're not totally relying on the Holy Spirit, God and Jesus Christ my Savior, you're gonna fail. And that's what the truly elect is. When he says the truly elect, the very elect, that means the ones that are truly saved.
So what is your faith in?
It's right. Not me. It's right.
Or your Heavenly Father.
It can. I mean, Alan, I'm all for it. I have a garden.
Yeah.
Right? I got water system, thanks to you, in case something happens. I am not counting on that to get me into the kingdom.
Right.
I'm counting on him in my, I have said before, I'm sick of myself.
Yeah.
As a saved person, I'm sick of myself. that I keep, I said that word again, Lord. I said, I'll never say it again. I did this again. I said, I'll never do that again. And, oh, wretched man that I am. And I'm thinking, if Paul was wretched, well, I look at Paul and go, that guy's holy, right? How much filthier am I? And God says, I've got this. Your outer man needs to be burned up, Tom. That I'm going to burn that thing up, and you will have no more remembrance of that outer man. But there's an inner man that's going to live with me forever and ever. You stay true to me.
And so all this that we looked at, the trumpets, Leviticus, all these things really do point to that promise.
Yes.
All of the sacrifices pointed to Christ. We're in that in Hebrews, right?
That's right.
All of the feasts.
Yeah.
Are pointing to the land that is promised.
Yep.
All of the actions that Moses brought, all the way till Joshua, Jesus, crossed them across the Jordan.
Yeah.
All those things point to God's, our hope in God doing the
things right.
That he's going to do.
How do we prepare? Get yourself under the blood.
There you go.
Get yourself, read your Bible, confess your sins, repent. Get yourself under his blood, and he will do the work. Right?
And there's the thing. He will do
He'll do it.
It's not about my work,
your
work, or what I say.
Yeah.
It's all God and God alone.
That's right.
I have less to do with this than what I think.
We all, that's right. Even though I play a role in keeping myself, it is him that keeps me under shadow. It is him as a hen gathering. It's him that is my shepherd. It's him that covers me and watches over me. It's him that closes the door behind the sheep. Well, you're not getting this one.
Right.
Okay, you could attack his earth, his lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, but you're not getting that man in there. I've got him. I love it. I just love it. To me, what eschatology has done is drawn me closer in faith and reliability of Jesus Christ.
When those devils are released out of the pit, they have the sting of a scorpion, all that kind of stuff. But anyone who has the mark of God
yeah.
on their forehead, they cannot touch.
Oh, okay. We'll be at 7-Eleven picking up some hot dogs to cook out here, and there'll be a scorpion walking by whacking people. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
He's not going to touch you. They're not going to touch us.
They're not allowed to.
Yeah. This is the God I know
that
says, look, drop all your faith in yourself and trust in me. So, you know, just to, I think, makes sense now, Gayla? Fifth trumpet blows. That's the first woe. You are now within 5.5 months of the second coming. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know the time and the season. The sixth trumpet blows. There it is, Revelation 2:10. We saw 10 days, right, between the first trumpet and the trumpet of Jubilee. We saw a 10-day period. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. Daniel chapter 11. That you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. I believe that. Be thou faithful unto death, Bonnie. Die. They're going to kill you. So what? And I will give thee life. See this, how this works? Here's the harvest. Here's the harvest. Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead. Revelation 2. Blessed are the dead in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sharp sickle and reap, for the time is come to reap, and the harvest, the latter rain, James chapter 5, Leviticus 23, Pentecost, right, is of the earth is ripe, and he sat on the cloud and thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reap. See how this makes sense? This is the only thing that makes sense. Amanda said it. You know, when I hate charts, but when I showed her the chart, she just looked at it and she said, I've looked at those. They don't make any sense, those dispensational charts. This makes sense where everything. Where is it? This guy here.
Everything, everything is fulfilled on the last day. Day, 24-hour day. I come quickly, suddenly. He'll make a quick riddance of these things. On that day, these last three feasts are going to be fulfilled at the finality of Pentecost, when the harvest is come into full. Okay? Does that help?
Yeah.
So I do, just tell me to slow down sometimes. Yeah, and believe me, when I say this, I do want this to reach out there. I do, but this is here, and it's meant for here. But I do think, here's my opinion, I don't think we'll be here. I don't. I think us, where we got one foot in the grave.
Right, amen.
We got 20 years.
Yeah.
That's just my own opinion. But we are to leave this for the next group.
Right.
For the Johns, the Brendans, the Laurens, the Deannas, and the Allisons, the Cassidys, Amanda.
Yeah.
Right? We're to leave this for them. Justin, yeah.
He's a young punk.
So, to me, and like we've said before, we're a bunch of hoary-headed people here, but the ones that I'm concerned about aren't here to hear this. And they're the ones who are going to be left with the lies of the second coming that, you know, well, just be ready. You could be gone at any second. Okay? Comments, contradictions, questions?
I just, you know, again, like we started this whole morning conversation with, I'm at a loss on how to help. I really am. I'm at a loss on how to help. How do I help these folks, these young people? But, well, if they don't want to hear, they ain't going to hear, right? So how, and...
But it's your witness.
Amen, yeah.
Yeah. My mother, she died at 72, which was in 1996, but it's her stand, all the things that she went through. She lived her life as an adventure. It was her viewpoint, and she had cancer, she had this, she had that. She was always faithful to the Lord. That's what causes me to withdrain myself.
Yeah.
Because of her witness.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the cloud of witnesses that go before us.
That's right.
They might not get it. They might not get the depth because they're young. Their body hasn't failed them, or the world isn't as vexing as it's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's that we stood faithful.
That's it. That's it.
You know, like David, has it cursed God and us?
Right.
We're hanging in there. No matter what is
handed to us. Well, that's just it. We're to be faithful. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Mm-hmm. Right? Stand fast. This is how we reach them. Stand fast. Hold traditions you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So it's not just your Catholic traditions. It's by word or epistle. So that's what I'm to stand fast on. And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, which loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So my testimony is this. And that's how we reach people. It's God's job to save them, to reach them. It is my job to present them the gospel and to tell them, I just believe this. Right? Let God do the work. We're going to be small because people leave because they don't like, our gospel's not watered down.
Yeah.
It's not watered down. And we're not going to water it down because I believe each and every person here knows they're going to stand before Christ. And we are going to be accountable for what we told people.
What was that? They feared man more than they feared God.
That's right. Want to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you. Right? Okay, good? Did we clean it up, Gayla? Okay. Lord, thank you. I do thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have met us here. I thank you that you have spent time with us this morning just in conversation preparing, Lord, preparing our hearts how to prepare for your second coming. Lord, whether you come today or 100 years from now. That's not the issue. The issue is our heart right with you? Are we under the blood? Has belief in your blood, shed blood for our sins, changed our lives, Lord? And as Curtis said, how do we reach people? Lord, prepare a path for us. Open a door for us to reach people with your gospel. Because whether you're coming within our lifetime or not, the truth is people die and go to hell. And we want to reach people with the truth of the gospel. Because everybody will stand before you on judgment day. And there is no escaping the blood of Christ. So I thank you, Lord, for meeting us here. I thank you for cleaning up some things. Lord, as I've said before, if something is an error, please correct us. You know, me and Curtis have a fear of misrepresenting your word, Lord. And I pray that you would just teach us. And I pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would just keep feeding your flock. Teach your children, Lord, children of light, to prepare our hearts. Whether you come today or whether you come 1,000 years from now, Lord, to prepare our hearts to be right with you when you do appear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.